As we again look at this scripture, note again the importance of preaching. We're told, I got them written down here, we don't have time to go through all of them, but we're told in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, and Acts 1:8, five times right there, five commissions that Christians are given to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so the emphasis at Good Samaritan Baptist Church ought to be, listen, it has not been, it ought to be, it has not been in my 23 years here, it ought to be on the preaching of the gospel. One thing, again, about tapping into Solid Rock and watching all of their services during the week is you never see one of their services where they don't present the plan of salvation and give a plea for people to get saved. Now, granted, they're reaching all through the world with their outreach, and we're reaching 20 people here, but again, understand that certainly the preaching of the gospel ought to be important. It ought to be one of the most important things that we have going on here. That's what this is all about. That's what your life is all about. That's what your commission is for. It's not to go out and teach the gospel, again, to the unsaved, but again, it's to preach the gospel. And I've made this distinction that the difference between preaching and teaching is this. It's like a tennis game. The ball is in your court, and you got to do something with it. And that's what preaching is. It's making people understand that, hey, the decision is left to them, and it's got eternal consequences. And so when we preach the gospel to every creature, it's to make sure, again, they understand that they've got to move on that. They've got to make a decision, and that's what preaching is all about. Where I was going to say something about women not preaching, but certainly anyone who's married knows that women can preach. That's where, again, they leave the ball in your court, and you got to do something with it. And so to understand, again, that, hey, that's what preaching the gospel is. Now, we do a lot of Bible preaching around here, and I do a lot of Bible teaching. And I'm probably, I'd be categorized more as a Bible teacher than a Bible preacher. And perhaps that's been the drawback for 23 years and we haven't grown here. But again, we do live in a AAA society around here. That's apostasy in our churches. That's agnosticism in our homes. And that's atheism, again, in the museum across the street. To again understand that, hey, those things affect what goes on here. But boy, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing here is that we preach the gospel to every creature. And so preaching the gospel, reaching again with the gospel. Matthew 28 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all things. Teaching is important for the church. But again, the main thing is to reach the world and to preach the gospel and to keep people flowing in and growing in through the teaching ministries of Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And so here again, we have a commission to preach, and we believe in Bible preaching. We believe, and I've tried to emphasize this in the past couple of years, again, as I realized our shortfall, is that we need to just preach the gospel to every creature. All of us need to memorize a Romans road. And a Romans road should start with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know what you got to do to get that into your Romans road. But again, it's a good place to start. Let's turn in our Bibles to John in chapter 3. Make sure we got these verses marked and memorized in our Bibles. John 3:16, then verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:16 is a great gospel in a nutshell, but there's no condemnation until you get to verse 17. And learn to include that in our gospel preaching. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You got two things in that verse that we need to emphasize. Number one, that man is condemned. And number two, that man needs to be saved. The Bible says so. That's what we're to be preaching in this world. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. One more verse out of John added to our Romans road, John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. There's that condemnation word again. But it's passed from death unto life. From that prelude, from that introduction to a person's need for salvation, we can step right into the Romans road. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, verse 18. Romans chapter 6, 23. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. Memorize them. Present them. Learn again that, hey, we're to preach the gospel to every creature. That's our commission. And so we still believe in Bible preaching around here. Preaching is going to offend people. Preaching is going to make people uncomfortable. But we, again, are given here to be witnesses to the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We still believe in preaching the Word of God. I still believe in the church. I still believe in the church. Turn with me to... No, let me just read it for you. Matthew 16:18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. A couple things. I will build my church teaches against, again, the Catholic idea that the church has always existed, started in Genesis. No, it didn't. The church has a beginning. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The church, this right here, Good Samaritan Baptist Church, is to be a pillar and ground of church, of truth. And it is the definition of a church. Hebrews 10, again, that we've looked at. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Hey, we see the day approaching. And so we believe in church around here. Not a worship center. It's not a fellowship. It is a church with two offices and two ordinances. It's not a darkened auditorium so the strobe lights work better. We went to a funeral and thought, man, why is the whole stage... No, she thought, why is the whole stage black? What is that about? And it's so that their strobe lights have the best effect on people. Listen, shame on us. It's not a darkened auditorium so strobe lights impress people. It's not a rock band. It's not an entertainment center. I believe in church. I also believe that sin is sin. The Ten Commandments are clear, and they are not 10 suggestions. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet. That's the original 10. And so again, to understand that God has laid down some thou shalt nots. Over 190 others I didn't list right here. But again, there are some things, and it can't all be positive. There's some negative involved here. Thou shalt nots. And so we believe again that God has laid out some sin. And some things that are an abomination to him. And even though we've evolved to a higher level and we've progressed through a progression I don't even like progressive insurance again. That we've come to a place again where we are far progressed above what the Bible says. No, God established some things and some principles, and they're still sin. I heard a preacher say, if it's sin 100 years ago, it's sin today. It hasn't changed. And so again, understand that we believe that sin is still sin. And let me drop back to that we need to preach against sin. I told the church that we'd build all the way up to 100, and then the preacher would come to the pulpit and say something about smoking cigarettes, and the population of the church would drop down to about 20. And then they'd build it all back up, and they'd get people saved and coming to church, and then the preacher would stand in the pulpit and say something about adultery, and the population of the church would drop down to about 20. Listen, we need to understand that we need to preach sin. We need to understand that sin is sin, and we can't compromise on those things just to build a crowd. And again, understand that if it was sin 100 years ago, it's sin today. Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Sin needs to be acknowledged. And again, especially the idea that sometimes we don't keep God in light of that verse, that we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. I still believe in tithing. In Genesis, Abraham comes and he gives a tithe to Melchizedek, king of Salem, and God blesses him for that. God's established. Jacob, if you remember, vowed a vow and said, Lord, if you take care of me, I'll give you a tenth of all that I have. And listen, how's God doing it, taking care of you? Yeah, he's given you eternal life. He's given you all heavenly blessings and heavenly places. And so again, understand that the tithe is still today. A lot of people say that's pharisaical, that's a legalist. But again, the Bible's pretty clear. Jesus didn't say, okay, let's stop tithing. In fact, he told the Pharisees, hey, this ought you have done. Talking about tithing of mint and cumin. This ought ye to have done. So God established and Jesus established again that it's not just 10%, it's the first 10%. And that's what tithe means. Not just 10%, but the first 10%. We ought to give it to God and understand what tithing is. We still believe that here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, and I appreciate again we've got faithful tithers at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. I still believe in living the Christian life. We don't do one thing on Sundays and then go home and change everything so that we can make it through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday until we come back together and be with other believers. But we need to be living the Christian life. Beverly and I started again as young parents reading our Bible every day out loud. And we taught all our kids to read by reading the Bible every day out loud. Every day. If we miss a day, there's a verse that says, I forgot what it said now. But it said something about taking vengeance on all unbelief. When you do something wrong, you take vengeance on that by doubling it up. That's a good theme for us. When you find you're missing something in your life, take vengeance on that missing thing and double up and do it twice as much until it's such a habit you can't break it. And so reading God's Word out loud every day is a big deal to this preacher. Reading God's Word privately. Beverly and I read the Bible out loud together. We read it privately. So we read through our Bible twice a year, two times in a year. We read through the whole Bible. And listen, that to me has more profound effect than anything else in life. And then going to church. I remember when I first left Tuscarora Baptist Church and went off to Bible college, and all of a sudden I had homework to do out of my Bible. Shame on Sunday school teachers that didn't give homework again. But I didn't have homework that had to get done and get graded again while I was in church. But boy, when I was in Bible college, I'll tell you what, that first year I only made 6 months of it before they kicked me out. But that first 6 months I was in Bible college, man, I flat learned a bunch of things that I'd heard all my life, but I hadn't really given them to my mind by reading the Bible every day, by spending time studying the Word of God. And so again, that's what's normal. Who was that preacher down there that preached, "I want you all to be normal Christians"? I think it was that potter guy that does the pottery was here. I want you to be normal Christians. I don't want you to be abnormal Christians. I want you to be super Christians. I want you to be a normal Christian. A normal Christian reads his Bible every day. A normal Christian has a sweet hour of prayer every day. I want you to be a normal Christian and do Christian things. Live the Christian life every day. There's a verse in Galatians. I probably should have wrote it down. Galatians 2 and verse 20 says this: "I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me." Listen, we need to live the Christian life every day. And then lastly, number 7, I still believe that we need God. A lot of people have tried to turn over a leaf and do it on their own. Listen, you can't. We need God. I just put together again our book and gone through a revision of it on Christian marriage. And one of the themes in that book is the fact that, hey, you can't do this. Even if you practice everything that's in that book diligently, religiously even. Listen, if your marriage is going to work, if your marriage is going to be a taste of paradise, it ain't going to happen unless you have God right in the middle of your marriage, right in the middle of your lives. We still need God. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and said, "I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." I'm going to take this message and tuck it away and dig it out on our 30th anniversary service. And we'll look at those 7 things again, but again, understand that, hey, we still believe the Bible around here. We still believe in preaching around here. We still believe in the church around here and the authority and the power of the church. We still believe that sin is still sin. We still believe in tithing. We still believe, again, in living the Christian life. And lastly, we still believe and certainly understand that, hey, we need God to survive. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you again for the stand that this church has taken now for 30 years. Praise you again and thank you, Father, that we can look at these 7 and understand that, hey, this church has held on to those, has preached those again for all 30 of our years that we're working on here. And I pray now again, Father, that you'd bless. Cause again that even in election week that we would understand that some things are permanent in this old world. Our relationship with you is just that. We praise you, we thank you, we love you, and ask again for your blessing on these words from your word, and ask that you'd tug on our hearts anew and afresh. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's just have a song of invitation. And as the pianist plays, let's go ahead and look again for God's blessing. And Good Samaritan Baptist Church, God's blessing on your individual lives as we remember these important things. 816 in our songbook. Let's just sing that invitation song. Have thine own way, Lord. 816 in our songbook. Let's sing just the last verse of that song. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Lord, bless you for worshiping today. Don't forget to vote this week. Praise the Lord.
Wife just died this morning about 9 o'clock. He had cancer too, and he was rather giving him morphine just like I had to do. And so his sister just called me, my stepchild, and said she had died. So his name is Brian. He's the survivor. You got to pray for Brian and Dustin.
All right, let's do that just now. Father, praise you again and thank you that we can carry all things to you. Father, I'd ask especially that you touch Cousin Dave's here, Brian. I'd ask again, Father, that you'd surround him in your care. And Father, that you'd hold him close. And Father, again, that your name even could be exalted, even in the death of his wife. And Father, that you'd be the comfort that only you could be. Thank you again, Father, for touching Dave and hearing his prayer. And again, surrounding family now in your word and your promises and your protection. And ask again, even that you'd touch Dave, even through this hurtful event that's so close to home to him. And so I pray again, Father, that you would just surround Brian now and that whole family in your care. And Father, that will give you all the praise for only they're doing what only you could do on this Sunday morning. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Bless you.